The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. Today we're going to finish the series of programs covering the subject of the Ten Commandments, the law of God. The last commandment we need to look at is the tenth one. Do you know what that is? Please take your own Bible and read it for yourself. Go ahead and get your Bible, take time to do it, and follow along. Let's see what the tenth commandment from the law of God actually says. Read it with your own eyes. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. That's Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. Here's what it says. You shall not covet. That's commandment number 10. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. This commandment refers specifically to how human beings treat other human beings. Its wording lays out a sevenfold program that has to do with the well-being of others. Just notice right here in verse 17. It refers to others over and over again. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not covet your neighbor's manservant, your neighbor's maidservant, your neighbor's ox, nor your neighbor's donkey. And then it goes on to make an all-encompassing statement, which says, you shall not covet anything that is your neighbor's. So it mentions others seven times in specific detail regarding how we are to treat our neighbor. And it has to do with loving our neighbor as we keep commandment number 10. This last commandment of God can actually be broken without anybody else even knowing about it, but you and God. You can break this commandment and nobody will know except you and God. However, when we break any of these 10 commandments, including commandment number 10, they will inevitably break us. The penalty is automatic. Just as when we obey these 10 commandments, the blessings are automatic. And the most important thing to keep in mind is God knows when we break this commandment, as well as any of the commandments. Now, when he gave the 10th commandment, you shall not covet, he gave it to regulate our thoughts and hearts and minds. Action always follows thought. We actually end up doing and being what we think. So even though you can break commandment number 10 and nobody else will know about it, eventually they will know about it, because if we break it and it becomes a part of our thinking, then we're going to follow that thinking with action. And now others will know about it because our actions will follow our thoughts and what's really in our heart. So we have to bring our thoughts into line with what Almighty God says. Because the way we think is the way we end up being and what we end up doing. The Bible makes that plain. Let's go over here to Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 and see what God's word says about what we think. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. It says, verse 7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So you might be thinking something that nobody else knows about, but if you keep thinking it, you're going to end up doing what you're thinking about. And if we're thinking about good things, we end up doing good things. But if we're thinking about coveting, we end up doing those things that are not good. We end up following through on that wrong way of thinking with wrong action. And that then complicates everything for everybody. You see, when we covet, we actually are lusting and we actually are serving an idol. An idol is anything that comes between us and the great God. So then when we break the 10th commandment, we also break the first commandment, which says we're not to have any other gods before the true God. And you study this subject and you'll see commandment number 10 ties directly in with commandment number 1. In fact, let's go to a scripture in the Bible that shows us that. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Colossians 3 and verse 5 says this, and God inspired the Apostle Paul to write this, and it applies to us today. It says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, which means evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Look how that ties in. Colossians 3 and verse 5. And covetousness, which is idolatry. So in other words, commandment number 10 and commandment number 1 fit hand in glove. When we covet, we end up then having an idol, which comes between us and God. Therefore, God's law is broken as a whole. You see, the law of God is made up of 10 commandments that all go together. You break one, you break all. They are so submitted to one another, when you shatter one of them, all of them are shattered. And of course, when that happens, then we commit sin. God makes that plain in 1 John 3 and verse 4. He says sin is the transgression of God's law. And he also makes it plain in Romans 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. So this matter of God's law, keeping it or breaking it, is really a very serious matter. In fact, it's a matter of life and death. We need to understand that and consider that very carefully as we make our way through this wonderful gift of life that God has given us. Now I want to concentrate on showing right from God's Word, the Holy Bible, how we can learn to keep this 10th commandment. The way to quit breaking this 10th commandment is to start keeping it. It's just that simple. Well, how do we do that? The Bible makes it plain. Let's turn over here to Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. This is a wonderful verse. It's quoted quite often. It's known by many, but how many of us really practice it and follow it and do it on a daily basis? If we do, we're going to keep the 10th commandment instead of breaking it. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Notice this wonderful principle for happy living. It says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You see, when you look at life, you're looking at a series of choices. All of us every day make choices. We're forced to. We have to. Even if we decide I'm not going to make a choice, that is a choice. And so in the broad sense of making choices, there are two fundamental ways to go. One is to go the way of give, and the other is to go the way of get. When we go the way of get, that's breaking the 10th commandment. We are coveting. We are lusting. We are competing. We're full of greed. We want what other people have, and we'll do whatever it takes to get it. We strongly desire physical things. It's all about self. The way to change all of that is to take the other route and make the other choice and go the way of giving. And when we develop the attitude of giving instead of getting, we're going to learn what true happiness is all about. We're going to begin to think the way God wants us to think, because God is all about giving. He's all about love. The two are interchangeable, giving and love, love and giving. And so when we give our time and give our love and concern, and even give some of our material blessings to others in need, especially if they will be thankful and use it properly, we then are keeping the Ten Commandments, and we are especially keeping the 10th one. We're not going to be coveting, and we're not going to be lusting, and we're not going to be putting an idol in front of Almighty God if we have the attitude of giving and of serving and of helping and of caring and having concern for others. When we begin thinking of others rather than just self, we find one of the great keys to abundant life. When we start showing sincere concern for the welfare of others and sharing with them in the right way, we are then entering into a life of true Christianity. That's what it's about. And what you will find is it's such a blessing. It brings such happiness and joy and sense of fulfillment when we learn to give in the right way and for the right reason. And it's the complete opposite approach to that of getting and self and acquisition of things. And that's how we can keep the 10th commandment instead of breaking it, learning how to give. And it is much more enjoyable. And it truly is what the Bible says right here in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. It really is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, if nations of the world practiced that principle, it would revolutionize the way the world operates. Instead of fighting and scratching and clawing and killing and warring and lusting and maneuvering and manipulating nation toward nation, which is the way it is today in general, with very few exceptions, on very infrequent occasions, they would be giving and serving and helping and looking after and sharing and being there for one another. You talk about a revolution in the right direction, that would bring about a revolution of the right kind. Well, it's going to happen when Jesus Christ returns to this earth and establishes his kingdom. But until that glorious time and that glorious event takes place, I'm afraid we are faced with a future of more of the same that gets worse and worse. And that is get, and get even more, and there's never enough. That breaks the 10th commandment. Jesus Christ talked about this, and certainly Jesus Christ knows what he's talking about. Let's see what he said about this whole matter in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. This is a direct quote from Jesus Christ himself. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. So here's a specific, direct, focused comment from Jesus Christ on this subject of don't covet. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Now let's think about that for a moment. Isn't that what makes the world go around today? How much you possess, what you possess, and how much you can get on top of what you already have? Of course it is. Let's be honest. That is the way of life that is taught and followed and sought after in just about every corner of this earth today. There are a few exceptions to this, but mighty, mighty few. Most people live their life to one degree or the other trying to acquire things and then top that off with acquiring even more things, thinking that that'll make them happy, thinking that that will be fulfilling, that that will be rewarding, that they will have arrived when they get a bigger house and a bigger car and more cars and more money and more clothes. But when they acquire all these things, they find out that really didn't make them happy, that really isn't satisfying. Those things really do not fulfill life the way they thought they would. That's why Jesus Christ said what he said here. This is an extremely important verse in the Bible. For a man's life is not made up with the things that he has, is what he's saying. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. In other words, we have to understand and realize what really counts. The acquisition of stuff never satisfies. We always want more. We want a bigger car, a bigger house, more land, more money, a longer boat, a more powerful tractor, a bigger airplane that will fly further and faster, more fame, more fortune, more attention. It just goes on and on and on. The more we lust after and scratch and claw and get, the more we want. It only leads to lusting for more. There's never enough. And that approach and that way of life actually turns out, in every case and without exception, it actually turns out to be empty and shallow and hollow and boring. It simply doesn't satisfy. When we get to the top of the mountain, we look around and say, is that all there is? I made it. Now what? That's what concentrating on how many things we can get ends up being. It ends up with this question. Well, I've got it. Now what? You might want a big, fancy new car. Once you get it, you get used to it, and then you begin thinking, well, is that all there is? Now, having a new car is not wrong. Having a nice house, having money, traveling, eating in nice places, often by themselves, none of these things are wrong. But when we begin to covet them and lust for them, and do things that are not right in order to acquire them, that's when it begins to be wrong. And when we begin to think that's what life is all about, that's when unhappiness is headed our way. When we have those blessings and we use them in the right way to honor God and to serve others and to enjoy life the way God intended us to enjoy it, first the spiritual part of life and then the physical, then those things are wonderful. It's not a matter of fulfilling lust and coveting. It's a matter of thanking God for the blessings and then using them in a way that pleases him. But when that approach and attitude is missing, and it's just, I want more, and I'm going to get it one way or the other, no matter what it takes, that will not satisfy. That will leave us wondering, what else is there? And that will leave us finding life not so pleasing, not so fulfilling, and not so great, but rather, so that's it, huh? That's it? Because when our attitude is one of coveting, when we get what we are coveting, that's never enough. There's simply a better way to live life than that. And of course, that way is God's way. Now, one of the most important principles in keeping the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, is to be deeply thankful for what we already have. Instead of coveting and longing and lusting for what we don't have, or wanting or coveting what somebody else has, when we are deeply grateful for what we already have and we take care of it, that's satisfying. And that keeps the 10th commandment. Here's a little something you might do to understand this point better. Take time to take a piece of paper and a pen and sit down either by yourself or with somebody else that is interested in talking about this subject and just start writing down the blessings you already have. Instead of writing down what you want, what you wish you had, what you crave, even if somebody else has it and it's theirs and not yours, instead of having that approach, take time to write down what you already have. You have life, food, and water, and clothing. You have a home. You have family, a job, a car. And list all of these tremendous blessings that you already have. And sure, some people might have more than you have. That's okay. Be thankful they have it. But look what you have, and be thankful you have that. And then if you work hard and you go about moving forward in the right way and the right attitude, God will give you more. But until then, you're thankful for what he's already given you. That's one of the keys to success. And that's one of the keys to happiness and contentment and satisfaction. We all want to grow. We all want to go forward. But we want to grow and go forward within God's law in the right attitude for the right reason, not at the expense of others, and not based on competition and getting and grabbing something that's not ours. That's going to bring problems and penalties and pain and something that we hadn't bargained for, and we'll be sorry when it hits us. So we must not go that way. You know, the Bible mentions being thankful over and over again. Here's one clear example of that attitude and that approach and that very important quality. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Now just look at this. How beautiful this is. And I know it's easy to gloss over it and not think about it. But if we want to live life the way God intended for it to be lived, which involves peace of mind, happiness, joy, fulfillment, excitement, challenges, growth, learning new things, doing interesting things, all of that and much more, then we will be interested in what we read here in Ephesians 5 and verse 20, which says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When is the last time you took time to be thankful? When is the last time you told others thank you and really mean it? Have you told your wife thank you recently? Have you told your husband thank you, I appreciate what you do? Have you children told your parents thank you for all you do for me? And parents, when is the last time you talked to your children and thanked them for the good things that they're able to do? Here's another very important question. When is the last time you got down on your knees in private and thanked God for the wonderful things he gives us, the mercy, the forgiveness, the freedom of religion, the truth in his word? The spiritual blessings are the most important of all. When you start counting your blessings, and you do that every day, the list is going to get longer and longer because you're going to begin realizing you have so many blessings that you hadn't even thought of. Physical blessings and spiritual blessings. Little things, medium-sized things, and big things. They've been there all along. We just haven't taken note of them. We haven't taken time to be thankful for them. Well, let's start doing that. Let's start spending a good part of our lives being thankful for what we already have instead of griping and complaining and bellyaching and carping and harping about what we don't have and what we wish we had and why does somebody else have those things and we don't have them and being jealous of them and ending up lusting and coveting and breaking the 10th commandment and suffering the penalty for doing so. Let's follow what it says right here. It's a very simple verse. We don't have to make a big deal about it. We don't have to keep waiting until we do it. We can start doing it right now. We can just do what it says right here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I challenge you to do that. If you do that, you're going to find that things start turning in a different direction and going in a different way. And it'll be a better way, a more interesting way, a more fulfilling and gratifying way. Because now you've chosen to go in the way of giving, of serving, of thinking outwardly instead of inwardly. Now you've chosen to keep the 10th commandment and thank God and thank others and realize what you already have instead of being so caught up in what you don't have and desperately want in the way of physical things and the acquisition of material goods. As we have seen in this series of broadcasts on the 10 commandments, God's great law is all about love. It's all about giving. It's all about obeying God. It's all about loving God and loving neighbor. Love toward our Creator and love toward our fellow human beings. The law of God is not harsh. It is not bondage. It is not rigorous. It gets a bum rap. And quite often it gets a bum rap in the field of religion. It's not taught correctly from God's word. Well, you can take God's word and read it for yourself and correctly obey it. Let's just notice right here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2 pertaining to the law of God. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. We've spent quite a lot of time on this subject going through the Ten Commandments. I just want to remind everyone what the Bible says about the Ten Commandments, and I want to draw your attention to the fact that this is in the New Testament, and it's over toward the end of the New Testament, and it's written by one of the apostles, and the Bible says it was the apostle that Christ loved. He loved all of them, but there was a special affinity between Jesus Christ and the apostle John, and look what John said here in his book, 1 John 5 and verse 2, about the law of God, the Ten Commandments. It says here in verse 2, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments." Doesn't sound like the Ten Commandments are done away. Doesn't sound like they're harsh and legalistic and lead us into bondage. It doesn't seem like they are restrictive and that they crimp our lifestyle and that they get in the way of real fun and real living. It looks like they lead to real fun and real living and a really exciting, fulfilling life. That's what it looks like because that's actually what they do. "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and we keep His commandments." All 10 of them. Verse 3, 1 John 5. "For this is the love of God." You want to know what the love of God is? It tells us right here. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." They are not burdensome. They're all about love. How plain, how clear. It absolutely, unequivocally shows us right here in these verses and in many other verses, but specifically right here and concisely and succinctly right here in these verses of 1 John 5, verse 2 and verse 3, that God's commandments are all about love. Well, one last verse I want to go to here just sums it all up. Let's turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and see this wonderful verse in God's word that sums up this whole series of broadcasts we've been going through on the Ten Commandments. It sums up how important they are, how complete they are, how wonderful our lives will be as with God's help we keep them. Of course, we can't keep them on our own, but with God's help, we can grow and develop in keeping them better and more completely, both in the spirit and in the letter. Let's just turn over here to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Of course, this book of Ecclesiastes is one of the most interesting books in the whole Bible. Solomon explored all avenues of life, looking for happiness, looking for fulfillment, looking for contentment, looking for satisfaction. And he delved into everything that life has to offer over and over again without limit and found out if you leave God out of the picture, it's just vanity. It's just wind. It's just grasping at nothing. And then he came down to the conclusion of the whole matter, and look what he said. It's so beautifully worded, and it is so true. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Here's what Solomon said under inspiration of God about life, first without God in the picture, and now with God in the picture. He says, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's get to the bottom line of the whole question of life. Here it is. Fear God, which means stand in awe of God. Fear God and do what? And keep his commandments. You see, one thing leads to another. When we stand in awe of God, then we're going to obey God. And when we obey God, we're going to keep his 10 commandments, all 10 of them. Remember, we've gone through all 10 of them. You shall have no other God before the true God. You shall not make any graven images. You shall not take God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie or bear false witness. And now we've gone through this commandment, do not covet. When we keep all of those great principles, those great commandments as a way of life with God's help, that's our whole duty in summary. Fear God and keep his commandments, all 10 of them, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, there's a better translation for that particular sentence, and that is, for this is man's all, or this is the whole man. In other words, what he's saying here in verse 13 of Ecclesiastes 12 is this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, and you are fulfilling what life is all about. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is man's all. This is the whole man. That's when we reach our full potential and realize what real abundant living is all about after all. We have free material which delves even further into this very important subject of God's law and of living life his way. All you have to do is ask for it. Living the Abundant Life, The Attitude of Competition, Life's Great Purpose, all of these items will be sent to you totally free of charge. Just call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. We'll also send you our free magazine, Straightforward. It's a free subscription, no cost, no obligation, no strings attached. Straightforward Magazine. We'd like to send you your copy. Just call 1-800-581-1317 and we'll put it in the mail to you right away. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.